need your help again. Bring your Bible up if you would. All right. Now, I believe in audience and congregation participation. So who wants to help tonight? Okay. All right. Now, these are kind of tough, so I'll go ahead and turn it on for you. All right. Who wants to help over here? Okay, Cheryl. That one right there. Uh-oh. Throwing things at Littlefoot. Okay, who else wants to help? You're scared to, aren't you? You will not have to get out of your seat. How's that? Okay. All right. There you go. Larry? Okay. There it's on. Okay. You just got to turn it on right there. Okay. I got one little baby one that in case someone don't want to feel get left out. Okay. That one's there on the end there. Okay. All right. So last week, remember throughout the whole sermon, John, whenever I said the word Bible, held it up. No, actually he didn't, but we started out that way, right?
Amen.
And we made the point that it's kind of like the Liberty Tax guy or person that dresses up and strolls up and down just to get attention because it's such a great, great tax service. Or Little Caesar's pizza guy has a sign on the front and back, walks up and down the streets, or seems like they're playing a guitar. And to get attention, because it's such a fantastic pizza, Little Caesar's, such a great deal, right? Well, really, if you think about it, the best thing that we have to offer, of course, is Jesus. But guess where we learn about Jesus? It's in the best book ever written, the Bible. Okay, isn't that something? So he's going to do that the rest of the lesson tonight. Every time I say Bible, he's going to hold it up. So let's practice a little bit. The Bible is God's Word. The Holy Spirit inspired men to write the Bible. Okay. Now, I don't think that's good enough, though. I don't think that's quite good enough. You know how the Robinson Graham, when they got something really fantastic, you know how they got those huge lights going everywhere? Well, we're going to do that tonight for the Bible because it's that important, okay? So when I say Bible, he's going to hold it up, and if you got a flashlight, shine it right at him. At the Bible. Right at the Bible, okay? The Bible is the best book ever written. Okay, that's pretty good. All right, let's practice that one more time. The Bible is the best book ever written. Okay, good. Now this is going to stretch a little bit. You know how those lights just start going every which way? Okay, so right after I say this, you're going to point at it, and then we'll count to three, and then it's going to go all over the ceiling, okay? You ready for this? The Bible is God's Word. One, two. Ah, some of you can't follow directions. Okay, try that again. You stay focused on the Bible until we count to three, and then you start letting her go, okay? All right. The Bible is God's Word. One, two, three. Now. Some of you just don't get it, okay? Let's try that one more time. Okay, everybody, instructions are, when I say Bible, he's going to raise it. Everybody's going to put their flashlight right on that there Bible, okay? And then we're going to count to three, and then it's going to be like those great big lights. You know, I've seen those lights way far off before, not necessarily Robinson Graham, but other places. You see them for miles and miles. You're like, okay, we're right upon it. No, we're not. Go another mile or two or three or four and it's still. So this is a big deal, okay? So make sure you get it right this time. The Bible is God's Word. One, two, three. Wow. Isn't that impressive? All right. Now you can turn your flashlight off if you want. John, I appreciate it. You can be seated with your Bible. Now, I kind of suspect that some of you, I might have to help you with how to turn the light out. That one's got a little tiny itsy bitsy little button right there near the top, right there on that second blue ring.
Oh, right there.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Everybody get it off? Okay. All right. I do want to tell you that those flashlights are not party favors. I would like them back, please. But I know a little bit of goofiness there, but really the point is the Bible is special. Really. And we don't really give it enough credit. Sometimes in our little pea brain, we want to say things and contribute to a debate or a discussion, and then we say, well, I believe. Yeah, that's all right to start, but what you believe needs to be based upon what that Bible truly says. So really the best way to say it or to contribute to a conversation is to say, you know what, my Bible says, or God's Bible says, or God's Word says, or Scriptures say, and that's how you interject, because that's what really matters. And see, that's what really matters to us as individuals, because if what's in the Bible is not true, we might as well make up our own rules, right? And if what's in the Bible is not true, heaven is not real. So, you know, you just might as well count down your days, get a big calendar, start marking the days off, because that's all you got. And then you're going to end up in the ground and just decay. That's it. But because the Bible is real and it's special and it's worthy of those great big strobe lights going every which way, advertising how special, because this book is so special. Now, we're in a sermon series on how big is God. How big is God? Specifically, last week and this week and however long we need to, the subtitle is, He's Big Enough to Give Us the Bible. How big is God? He's big enough to give us the Bible. Have you ever paused and really thought about how special it is that we have a Bible? Have you ever paused and thought for a moment, what if we didn't have the Bible? I mean, we'd be left to our own thoughts and our own devices, but really, we don't have to do that because we got the Word of God. And I know the world wants to tell us that, you know, like 99% of everything is gray. It depends on the situation. It depends on the person. It depends upon this, that, and the other. You know, I don't agree with that. Most things in this life, I'll not put a percentage. There are a few little gray areas you can say, well, you know, it's not wrong or right. It's just kind of in the middle. You know, you can make your decision on that. But way up there in percentages, almost everything is black or white. And it's black or white according to the Bible, God's Word, right? Okay. Y'all kind of, I kind of lost you there after the lights. You're still amazed and blinded by the light, right? Okay, how big is God? He's big enough to give us the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now, every Christian needs to have these verses on the tip of their tongue. I'm not even saying memorizing, but if someone says, well, how do you know it's the Bible? How do you know it's God's Word? How do you know it's special? Every Christian, and I mean this, I don't care if you are 5 years of age or whether you're 95 years of age, you need to be able to say 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 to 17, tell me that it's God's Bible, okay? So this is big. Last week, we read it. We just talked about a couple things. This week, we're going to read it and probably finish up talking about. But this is awesome. This is amazing. I mean, every one of us. I mean, even if you're tired, just say, Lord, wake me up. Lord, if you're weary, say, Lord, give me some strength. You know, if you're frustrated, say, Lord, just help me not be frustrated and help me to focus. Because this is big. I mean, every Christian should be able to say about everything I'm saying in about as many words, okay? Because it's big. Because we live in a world that says there are no standards. But you and I say, oh, yeah, there is. It's right here in the Bible. This is God's standard. So listen very, very carefully. Paul is writing to who? Timothy. And what is his position? He's pastor of the Ephesian church, okay? Who is older, Paul or Timothy? Paul. Paul is like writing this as a mentor, if you will, to Timothy, pastor of the church. There's so much in Timothy about how a church should run, how a pastor should operate, and all things like that under God's direction. Now listen, he's saying in verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. You know, again, these verses are so packed full of truth about this Bible that we hold dear. First point we made last week, he encouraged Timothy. Now, he says in the verses before that, you've known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. I've gone through persecutions, verse 11, afflictions, which came to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endure, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. So that's kind of setting where he's talking about. It says, yea, and all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And then it says, right before he says continue in Scripture, he says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Isn't that a description of where we are? So the world's getting worse and worse, all right? And deceivers are popping up everywhere. And unfortunately, I have to tell you, a lot of these deceivers, now you know the deceivers who are most dangerous? They're the ones that are close or want to make it sound close to the truth. Does that make sense to you? I mean, if some guy came up here, let me demonstrate this. And now we have Steve DeLay speaking for us today. Steve DeLay gets up. Round of applause, please. And if Steve DeLay gets up here and represents the world and says, you know what, you Christians, you're a bunch of idiots. You know, you're crazy, you're just believing all the wrong stuff, and you know what you really need to do is just trust yourself. And you'd say, whoa, and you'd hold your applause. And you'd say, boo, you'd throw hymn books at, you know, okay, I'm gone, right? Because that's so far off. But guess what? Okay, here we go. You ready? Ladies and gentlemen, we have Steve DeLay, the author of 15 best-selling self-help books in Christianity. And he's pastor of XYZ Liberal Church out in California. Let's hear it for Steve DeLay. You know, and then he gets up and he says, well, you know, Christians, I want to let you know I'm right where you are. I'm right where you are. I feel what you feel. And I know what you go through. But you know what? The Bible. Good book. It's a good book. But you know what? There are every once in a while, there's some errors in there. And we have to update the Bible. Because this was 2,000 years ago. We live in 2025. Now, let me tell you. Now, you've been taught right and you've been brought up right, at least since you've been here in this church, right? And so you're like, ooh, even that's way off. But a lot of Christians who are about that deep in their Christianity, oh, look at him. Good-looking fella. He says he feels what we feel, that he knows what we're going through. And then he sows a little nugget of untruth and another nugget of untruth and a little bit more untruth and a little bit more. And people are like, oh, I've heard him say about these false people, these false preachers. I mean, false preachers in context. False preachers, because they're not real preachers. I've heard people say, oh, have you read the book? Boy, it's a great book. You know, listen. Now, that's the people that you got to really beware of. What's that? I'll sow in the seed money, yeah. Yeah, and a lot of them, you know, you send me money and I'll multiply it. I'll pray over it. I remember one guy, they figured out, they did an investigation on him. He's one of these televangelists, and he'd had surgery, like uplifting your eye surgery, ones that makes you, you know, the one on Kenny Rogers that went bad, you know, that makes you do that. He'd had surgery, and they figured it out, and they reported this on national news, and he said, well, I had all those prayer requests. And I just prayed and prostrated myself on all that. And that ink got up here, kind of messed everything up. And I had to have, you know, I mean, it's just some ridiculous. You can look it up and read it yourself, figure out what he's saying exactly. But the idea is, and this is the big one, as we get closer and closer to the return of Jesus, there's going to be more people that sound pretty good, but, you know, it's like, well, and we should know that. And don't say, well, I'm going to listen to them anyway. They're just a little bit of error, and I know what he's off on, so I just won't listen to that part. You'll be sucked into that like a vacuum cleaner. Now, you got to be careful. You got to be careful. And that's what it says right there, right? It says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and even being deceived themselves. They might start even believing these lies that they're telling people. That's verse 13. So we got to be... We got to be ever alert. And then the next verse he tells Timothy, but don't be like that. Don't buy into that. Don't start buying all these books of these people because they say that they've encountered God face to face and he gave them this revelation. And goofball, come on. We got the word of God and that's what we got to continue in. That's what it says, right? But continue. Hello? Isn't that what it says? Amen. Continue thou in the things which you have learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Continue in the Bible. The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. Bible. Right? Now, isn't it amazing that sometimes the most simple of truths need to be repeated in our ears so that we aren't deceived by the devil? Now, think about it. I know some of you may think, that's crazy. That can never happen to me. Well, pride goes before a fall. Just be careful. Be careful. Because a lot of times when you hear these, it also talks about itching ears, remember? It says that Christians will have itching ears. They'll want to hear what they want to hear. And it kind of goes along with these people that give pretty much, that some of what they say is true, but it's either what they don't say or there's little nuggets of untruth in everything that they say. And they make you feel good. They pump you up. And let me tell you what's happening. In a lot of our churches, people don't come to churches anymore because we get convicted of sin. I don't know about you, but I've not always been behind the pulpit. I've been in the pew and I've heard good preachers, and sometimes we need to have our toes stepped on. We need to have our shoes all scuffed up and our shoes stepped on and our toes a little bit sore, because the preacher is preaching what God has for that church, and by golly, it might just not be you, but it may be this one and this one and this one and this one and this one need it. And we need to say, you know what, I want to draw closer to God. But you know what happens? I can stay home. I don't have to come to church and let that preacher step all over my toes. Now, really, it's not the preacher. It's God through his Holy Spirit using the preacher. But the preacher always gets blamed, believe me. I've been doing this a while. Preachers get blamed for it. But it's really God. You know, people talk to me after church sometimes. not a lot, but occasionally. And they'll say, you know what? Was you preaching to me, preacher? I wasn't really. I was just preaching what God had for me and for us, and you just got in the way, I guess. You know, it must be for you too. But what people do, and this evil men and seducers waxing, what people decide is, and really COVID didn't help, because a lot of people are now Facebook live streamers only. Now, there's reasons and there's purposes and there's good things, and not everybody can come to church. I get it. And a lot of good things have come from that, but some bad things have come from that, because people feel like, I just want to listen to it there. But there's also preachers on television that you can listen to. And you listen to those preachers, and it's fluff. It's all fluff. They don't know the meaning of the word sin. They don't know the meaning of the word commitment. They don't know the meaning of the word trials. They don't know the meaning. And they're suffer. Oh, God loves you. Oh, you're a child of God. Oh, if you just have enough faith, you'll get that job. You'll get that promotion. And I know you will. And guess what? If you have enough faith, you won't be sick. Now, humanly, which one would you rather listen to? Would you rather come out to church and listen to Pastor Steve preaching the word that sometimes gets us and says, you know what, I need to get right with God? Or would you rather hear that preacher on the television making you feel good all over the place? Now listen, here at even Bible-believing and preaching church all across our country, a lot of what we preach makes you feel good. But I wouldn't give you a nickel for a preacher that every once in a while didn't hit a nerve or hit a point that I need to improve in, because we're all sinners. But does that make sense? And that's where we are today. That's why people aren't coming to churches anymore. A lot of people think, I'm good. I listen to my TV preachers. And again, that's great. And there's some good TV preachers on there, but most of them aren't. And if you can come physically and are not divinely hindered, it's best to be in God's house. You should be in God's house. But do you see what's happening? People are staying home sometimes, listening to XYZ preacher because he makes me feel good. That enough said, probably. But it says, but what I want you to do, Timothy, is continue. Continue in what you've learned. Continue in the Bible. And we should be able to hear these preachers, and when there's one little nugget of mistruth or untruth, I'm not sure what the right word is, one nugget of truth, untruth, something that's not true, boom, antennas go up, dashboard lights come on, as we talked about last week, it ought to say, you know, that just doesn't sound right, because you got the Holy Spirit living inside of you, and that's truth too, right? He'll guide you into all truth is what Jesus promised his disciples before he died on the cross. He said, the Holy Spirit's coming. He's going to guide you into all truth. And that's part of that. But also we have the Word of God here that tells us what's right and what's wrong. And if anybody says, I know what the Bible says, but, turn them off. It says, but continue thou in the things which you have learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And notice what it says. So last week we spent a lot of time talking about continuing in the Bible. A lot of people have not continued in the Bible. They've done their own thing. A lot of people have not continued in the Bible. They've gone very liberal and gotten away from the Word of God. But continue. You continue in the Bible. And then it says, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are what? Able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Not only are we to continue in the Bible teaches us how to be saved. The Bible teaches us how to be saved. Again, it's not really of consequence of what you think about how to be saved or what I think about being saved. It's what the Word of God says about being saved. Or else, just come up with your own way, right? So continue in the Bible. The Bible teaches how to be saved. The next it says, it tells you how to be saved. Verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. You know that word inspiration is God breathed. God breathed. Now you think about that for a moment. How did creation come about? God spoke, God breathed it, if you will, and boom, there it is. Now, we know that the Word of God is God-breathed. In other words, it's a product of God. And we're going to talk more about this as we get a little bit more in this series or however long God leaves us in this, talking about he's big enough to give us the Bible. But he breathed it into existence. The Bible is God-breathed. It's not a product of man. Now, man had a part in it, but it's not a product of man. I mean, can you imagine, it's hard to get people to agree on about anything. I had a preacher friend of mine that said, you know what, he was a Baptist, I'm a Baptist. He said, you know, it's hard to get Baptists to agree on anything in these churches. He said, you know what, if we said God is good, I'm not sure it'd get 100% vote. He said, some people say it went too far, some people say it didn't go far enough, you know. But you know what? Imagine if I just said, okay, John, I want you to write something good and inspiring. Ken, I want you to write something good and inspiring. Cheryl, write something nice and inspiring. And Bill, you do the same. And Amy and Tim. And you know what? You put those four together and they would not click. They would not work together. They would not, you know, it's like, oh, okay, that's all right. But And then probably we'd end up writing something that was wrong. I've been finding out this grand and glorious, I shared this with you one day, this grand and glorious AI, artificial intelligence. It just happened. It just come on my phone. I didn't put it there, okay? These update things, and now it's on my phone. And when I Google something, boom, it says, first of all, what AI? And sometimes I admit it's helpful and it's right. I found sometimes it's not helpful and it's not right. So you got to be careful what it says, right? So if the main point I'm making, this is a product of God. The Bible is a product of God. It's not a product of man. He used man. But can you imagine if it was a product of man? Can you imagine how misguided it would be and how it would just like, it's kind of like, well, that doesn't even mesh. You know, this one says that. No. But since it's a product of God, it has unity and it has clarity and it has a central message because God is that big. Make sense? So all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. And then it goes on. So the main point of this, how big is God? He's big enough to give us the Bible. This is point number one that we've been looking at. God breathed the very words of the Bible into existence. We're told to continue in the Bible. We're told the Bible teaches us how to be saved. We're told that the Bible is God-breathed. And we're also told right here that the Bible is good. The Bible is good. It says in verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And here it is, and is profitable. Profitable. Now, if you have any money and you happen to be anyone that invests in anything, you want that money in stocks or bonds or wherever you might put it to be profitable, right? Or if you buy gold or silver, you see a lot of those commercials, right? You want that to become a profitable transaction or a good transaction. Here it says the Bible is good or profitable. For what? What is it good for? Well, then it tells us, and this is really, really, really good. Are you ready? If you're ready, just give me a little nod. I want to make sure you're still awake. I didn't say nod off, just a little nod. And listen to what it's good for. And believe me, every one of these areas, I need it. Every one of these areas, you need this. So the Bible is good for or profitable for doctrine. What do you reckon that is? Doctrine. What's that talking about? Belief. What we believe, right? Now, again, it really doesn't matter what I believe or what you believe, but it does matter what the Bible believes. And it's up to us to get in conjunction or in agreement with what the Bible says. So, but the Bible is good or profitable for doctrine. It tells us what to believe. The problem is not what's in the Bible when it tells us what to believe. The problem rests with you and me. Either we don't take the time to figure out what the Bible says, or we as humans want to say, you know what, I'm not going to accept that. Now, super hard on way out liberals who are not Christian, who we Christians sometimes do that too. But ours is a little bit more acceptable. I mean, we don't say things like, well, I believe lying is okay. Because we know that's pretty obvious and we don't want to sound unspiritual around our Christian brothers and sisters, right? But do we really believe what the Bible says in the finer points of Scripture? For instance, we're supposed to put God first. And everything else just falls into place, right? We're supposed to study to show ourselves approved unto God, the Word of God. You know, do we do that? Do we spend time reading? I mean, just on and on. You know, before we say, oh, well, those people, they don't believe the Bible, but I do. Well, really? Do you? Do we really believe that we're going to stand before Jesus? Do we really believe there's a heaven? Do we really think there's going to be reward? Do we really think, if we really believed all those things, even we Christians would see an improvement in our life. Yep. Right? Okay. So the Bible is good or profitable for doctrine. It tells us what to believe. Second thing is reproof. R-E-P-R-O-O-F. What does that mean? Reproof? What's that? To be set right? Well, specifically, reproof is if a kid was about ready to take a rock and throw it through your window. You know, you say, whoa, that's not the right thing to do, Junior. Put the rock down. That's not right, right? Now, when we read the Word of God, and see, this is a real value of the Word of God, it not only says, okay, this is what you need to believe, it also says, and when you're reading something, and you're paying half attention, but half attention you're not, you're like, sometimes that old Holy Spirit says, hey, whoa, yo, that's you. And it tells us, the Bible says, sort of like a mirror, it shows us who we are. And some people walk away and forget whatever manner of man it showed them, what the image was like. But really what it needs to do, Scripture will tell us what we're like. And sometimes it's not real pretty. And I'm not talking about physical looks. I'm talking about spiritual looks. Sometimes our physical looks look better than our spiritual looks. Do you know what I mean? And the Bible will show us what we really look like and say, whoa. You need to change this in your life. That's reproof. You need to put that rock down and don't throw it at the window. You need to quit that talking about that gossip. And you need to, you know what I mean? It says, whoa. So the Bible is good for telling us what to believe. That, with the Holy Spirit, works together. The Bible is good to tell us when we are wrong and doing something wrong in our life. You know, again, sometimes the reason people don't come to church is because they don't want to be confronted with the truth of God's word that they're wrong in their lifestyle or in their priorities or whatever, right? And that's what the Word of God does, whether it's preached, whether it's taught, or whether it's read by you at home. It says, and that's good. You don't want to stay where you're at. I don't want to stay where I'm at. I want to draw closer to the Lord, don't you? I mean, that's good. So, I mean, if the Lord says, best you can do, just stay where you're at. No, he says, hey. Doctrine, reproof. The third one is correction. Correction. The Bible is good or profitable for correction. It tells us how to straighten up and fly right. You know, it'd be something to say, okay, you're wrong, and not tell us how to correct it. But the Bible is such a thorough book, it tells us exactly how to correct it. It says, now this is what you need to do. And again, all of these, in conjunction with the Holy Spirit working in your heart and life, and the truth of God's Word, says, okay, this is what you need to do in relationship. For instance, you got a relationship problem, and you run across that. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ for God, or God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You're like, whoa, I need to be tenderhearted. I need to be forgiving myself. So it not only tells us when we're wrong, it says, this is how you correct a problem. You know, one of the values of the phone is YouTube on how to do things. I mean, you come across looking like a genius, and all you did was watch a video on how to fix something, right? And it tells you, I mean, we got old cars, we got old appliances, we got old everything, old furnaces, old roofs. But when you go to the phone and you put in, how do you fix this or how do you do that? And some guy comes on there and says, you know, if you like this, you hit like down below and follow what we say. And here, if you've got a 2004 Buick LeSabre, that's what Ryan's got, this is how you fix your, and then fill in the blank. And you watch it. Very helpful. The only thing the Bible doesn't, it's not video form. But when you read it in black and white, right there, it tells you, this is how you fix that problem you got. It's not a magic wand. It's not anything like that. But it tells us, from our perspective, what we need to do. Isn't that good? I mean, you buy these readers, remember these old Reader's Digest how-to books, how to fix this, how to fix that? YouTube's probably pretty much done in that business, probably. But, you know, that's pretty some interesting reading. And you get these, remember those Chilton manuals for cars? And you'd open them up and for a specific car, and it says this is how you change the alternator on this car and all that. I prefer watching the video and hearing them rather than reading through the pages. But let me tell you, the Bible tells us it's good to tell us how to get things right. Lastly, this we're about probably done. The last one, it says instruction in righteousness. So it's good for instruction in righteousness. If you want to know what kind of dad you're supposed to be, go to the Bible. It tells us how to be a righteous dad. You want to know what kind of wife you should be? Go to the Bible, it tells you. Or husband, go to the Bible, it's right there. What kind of worker you're supposed to be at work? Right there in the Bible. Now, I mean, anything about how I'm to live my life, it's in the Bible. Really. If it's not there specifically, it's there in principle. And I'm not saying some real general principle. I mean, really, it's a good, solid principle, understandable principle on how we are to live our lives. Now, I know to a degree all of these are intertwined. And again, the Holy Spirit uses the Holy Book, the Word of God, in our hearts and lives. But it's good. It's profitable. It tells us what to believe. It tells us when we are wrong. It tells us how to straighten up. And it tells us how to live for God. It tells churches how we're supposed to act and what we're supposed to do. It tells us as individuals. It tells us as families. As workers and as officers in the church and everything, it tells us what we are supposed to be doing to be righteous or right with God. Isn't that amazing? Verse 17. It says that the man of God may be perfect. You know what that word perfect really? A better way to put that would be mature. Mature. See, part of the problem is in a lot of our churches, we have baby Christians who never grew up. I mean, wouldn't it be amazing physically if we never grew up? And we say, hey, look at that fella. He's 80 years old and he's just crawling. Wow. It's kind of weird, but hey, I mean, wouldn't it? But spiritually speaking, we have some people that should be mature and like, you know, just when they talk, it's like, boy, that I can tell that's mature. I can tell that's from God. I can tell that's wisdom. I can, you know, and it's like it just kind of flows. And it's like, whoa, that's maturity. And we only get maturity through the Word of God. And if we're skipping the Word of God, we're going to have all the wrong maturity. You know, it's really not maturity at all. It's the world's type of maturity. We're just going to speak off the top of our head, speak very flippant. And the Bible just says usually if you don't have anything smart to say, just keep your mouth shut. And maybe they'll think you're smart. But basically, a child of God ought to have the maturity from the Word of God. And that's reason. There has never been a time. I believe this would be a unanimous decision or vote if I took it before all of the conservative biblical preachers that I know. They'd say that there's never been a time that we're more biblically illiterate than today. I mean, imagine, can you remember your grandparents maybe? Maybe, I mean, maybe not, but maybe. Can you remember your grandparents and or your parents and how they may have known Scripture and they knew the principles? And society even somewhat backed that up at the time. Now society's like, you know, pretty much totally against what we believe. But remember when people actually knew their Bible and said, let me show you here in the Bible. And they'd open their Bible or they'd say, hey, and they'd quote Scripture. And today we just like, I don't have time to mess with that Bible thing. Well, it shows. Because in our churches we have a lot of baby Christians. And I'm telling you, it's sometimes not real hard to figure out. And I'm not picking on anybody in this church. I've done this a while. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out sometimes that people in the churches are baby Christians. Really, they are. They say some of the most immature things. I've heard some. Be honest with you, I've heard some of that in this church too. It's like, oh, where'd that come from? That's not from God. And it's like, wow. You see, if we want to mature in the Lord, we need to get in the book. You know, we don't want to be a baby Christian. We want to get off the milk and onto the meat of God's Word, right? Amen. and then it says that the man of God may be perfect. And that's not talking about a man of God preacher. That's talking about a servant of God. It's really what it's speaking of all of us, okay? Truly, we'd say thoroughly furnished unto all good work. You know, there's no good work that we need to do for God that is not addressed in the Word of God. So this is all we need to mature in our walk with God. It tells us what to believe. It tells us when we're wrong. It tells us how to straighten up. And it tells us how to live righteous. And it helps us mature. And also, it tells us how to do good works. It's right here. Right here. You know, we're going to stay in this a little bit. But this book is such an amazing book. It's a whole lot more amazing than some talent that's come into the Robinson Grand. It's a whole lot bigger than a lot of people do a lot of flashing lights and hoopla about. This book is special. How big is God? He's big enough to give us this amazing book. In unity, without error, with a central message. It's amazing. It's amazing. But really, let's bring it down real practical. If it's that amazing, do we treat it like it's that amazing? Probably most of us would say, or maybe all of us unanimously would say, "Nah, I could do better. It's an amazing book. I need to give it more time. I need to give it more study. I need to reverence it and honor it." Now, we don't worship the Bible. Don't misunderstand me. But this, we worship the God of this Bible. And what we need to do, every one of us, I believe, need to spend more time in the Word of God. I know I do. I know I do. I need to spend more time. Do you? If you would, bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. If God is telling you that you need to spend more time in the Bible, more time in the Bible, would you just talk to Him for a moment and say, "God, help me to spend more time in this amazing book called the Bible. Help me to spend more time in this book called the Bible. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for our time together. We thank You for Your Bible that we can preach. And Lord, we thank You for this wonderful, wonderful passage in Scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that tell us specifically about Your Bible. Lord, may we all take it more seriously. May we read it more and study it more, we pray in Jesus' name.